This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
In December 2010, a Suffolk County canine officer stumbled upon the skeletal remains of a female stuffed in a disintegrating burlap sack. 2 days later, police would find three more bodies, discarded in the same manner along the same stretch of the north side of Ocean Parkway. In March and April of 2011, four more bodies were discovered in another area off of the parkway as police extended the search down the Nassau County border. 5 days later, the search was extended once again. This time, authorities were searching for bodies in Nassau County. The finding of an additional set of partial remains and a skull now would put the body count at 10. On December 13, 2011, the remains of Shannon Gilbert were found in a marsh, a week after the finding of her clothes and her belongings. Police believe Shannon's death was an accidental drowning. Shannon's 23-minute phone call to 911 may prove otherwise. Did Shannon's ghost locate the bodies and return them to their families? We will never know. But what we do know is the police were not out looking for these girls, not until they started using the words serial killer. Welcome to the garage. You are in the garage.
Shit, they're in the garage.
Well,
we're in the garage.
We're in a garage.
Hey, they might be lonely sitting out there in the garage.
Listening to us broadcast from a garage.
From a garage. We're hiding.
So as the guy said over the music, we're talking about the Long Island serial killer.
The guy said, you're the guy. I think they know that.
This story, what do you know about this story, Captain Fantastico?
I know everything.
I hate this story.
Well, then why are we doing
it? No,
wait,
because
stop the podcast.
It's confusing. That's why I hate the story. It's like, okay, so anytime there's a serial killer or a mystery or, you know, some kind of unsolved case, you always want more information. I almost feel like this one has so much information that that's where you get turned around and can't come up with a conclusion.
That's if everything is linked together. But we don't know if they're all linked together.
Okay, so how about we go through the findings first? We'll go through.
Here's what he does. I say things. You just stay in your own head. Talk however you want. Well, we'll just not act like he didn't say anything. Right.
Well, we'll go through the, you know, the remains and things that were found, and we'll determine if they're linked or not. That's what we're.
I don't
what
know
we're
if we're
going to
determine anything, but we're going to talk about it. That's the point of the show. Is us drinking beer.
Speaking of which, later, when you're ready for the truth, let me know you're
the
ready
truth?
For, let me know when you're ready for the truth. I don't think you can handle the truth.
Is it Paul Pierce beer?
Who's Paul Pierce? The basketball player?
Yeah, the truth.
All right, let's get into the story. before we lose everybody completely. So,
already lost them.
April 20th, 1996. Two female legs.
Wait, April what?
20th, 1996.
That's my birthday.
Two female legs wrapped. This show's not about you. Two female legs wrapped in a plastic bag are discovered on Fire Island, west of Davis Park Beach. That's the first findings that could be linked to this case. December 19, 2000, the first of two human torsos is discovered by hikers in a Long Island Pine Barrens in Manorville. This is off of Halsey Manor Road. So anybody that... This is going to sound crazy, but if you've done any armchair detective work on this case at all or want to, I recommend getting a map because some of these things are very close together. Others are a little spread out, but it's anybody familiar with Long Island it certainly makes this case interesting. On July 26, 2003, the second human torso is discovered in the Pine Barrens. This is not far from the first. The remains are identified as Jessica Taylor, remember that name, a 20-year-old escort from Washington, D.C., last seen earlier at the Port Authority bus terminal in Manhattan. Okay, so those three remains are lesser known about, okay? The remains that were discovered in 2010 by the canine officer, by the Suffolk County canine officer, were, excuse me, the
hold your hold on.
July 9th, 2007, Maureen Barnes is last seen in her room at the Super 8 Hotel in Midtown Manhattan. She's one of the four that's found in December of 2010.
Okay, so what you're talking about now is when they found the four bodies all at once.
Yes. Okay. Well, as far as we're going to go through when those four plus Shannon Gilbert go missing.
Right. But you already gave lead in stuff that was found that possibly could be linked.
Correct.
But if you look at a lot of the stuff that I looked up was on the 48-hour specials, and I don't think they brought up any of that stuff. So that's kind of new information to me.
Well, on a lot of the documentaries, they discussed the four bodies that were found in pretty good detail because they have some idea of when the last time each of these four girls were seen. And then they have a lot of information regarding what we believe is Shannon Gilbert's last night being alive.
Right.
So that's five potential victims. Of those five, Shannon's found in a different manner. She's found in a marsh. And her death is actually ruled an accidental drowning. She, at one point, there was quite a bit more water there than there is now. They think that she got disoriented. She got caught up in the pines, and, you know, lots of bramble there. And through her struggle, somehow either injured herself and that caused her to drown in the water, or she drowned in some fashion. That's what they claim. The tricky thing is her clothes and her belongings, I believe including her cell phone and her pocketbook and her ID and her shoes, are found a quarter of a mile away on the other side of the marsh. So, okay, I'm running for my life. I'm disoriented. What am I going to do? I'm going to take off my clothes and my shoes and my pocketbook and just run free through the marsh, you know, naked and free through the marsh. I know they claim that she was in hysterics and out of her mind, but that doesn't seem like something that normal people, that anybody would do given the circumstance.
Yeah, but they had a team of investigators go through on a day that they thought was similar to the day that, like, similar kind of weather and climate and everything, go through, and it's so swampy that you would lose your shoes and you would actually dip down like pretty far. So then if your pants are covered in mud and they're soaked, maybe just say screw it, you know, if you're making a run for it. I mean, if you lose your shoe, do you go back and get your shoe?
But you're okay, so you're a woman running at night in a scary place that you've never been before, and you're in, let's, you know, the wilderness.
But what kind of shoes?
Are you going to shed your shoes and your clothes?
But what kind of shoes? High heels?
Right. You might shed your shoes, but are you going to take your pants off?
Depends on how soaked you get.
Are you taking off your shirt?
What if you get stuck in the mud up to your knees?
I'm just saying, that's not something that I think that I would end up doing.
Well, we can test this theory.
And it doesn't appear either that she was shedding them as she went along. It's like, okay, here's my stuff. I'm going to drop all my stuff, and then I'm going to carry myself another quarter of a mile and accidentally drown.
Yeah, but I don't agree with the accidental drowning theory.
So what do you agree that she might have shed all of her clothes?
I'm saying it's possible.
It's definitely possible, but we're not here to argue what's possible. We're here to argue what's likely.
Isn't that the same thing? Mm-mm, it's the same thing. Mm-mm.
Anything, a lot of things are possible. What's most likely?
I don't know. I've never run in the marsh. But yeah. I know if I'm running in the mud and my foot gets stuck, because think about that's happened multiple times. You're running and your shoe gets stuck and it gets pulled off. Like, depending on what I'm running from or who I'm running from, I might not go back and get that shoe. You know what I mean?
Right. So both your shoes, your pants, your shirt, and your pocketbook got stuck in the mud all at once.
But think about your pocketbook. Okay, so you're holding.
That would be the first thing I would throw down, I think, unless there's mace.
Yeah, but if
you're, or a cell phone.
If you're running and you keep falling and you're falling into the mud and you're like actually impacting the mud, and then you go to pull out the pocketbook, but it's stuck in the mud. If you're disoriented, you fuck the pocketbook. Keep moving.
Of course, the pocketbook's first thing to go. Okay, so Maureen Barnes goes missing. Last seen July 9th. 2007, in her room at a Super 8 hotel in Midtown Manhattan. Melissa Bartholomew goes missing July 12, 2009. She's last seen outside of her apartment in the Bronx. This is the girl that the next month, and we'll get to this, we can go to this in more detail later. The next month, her sister, Amanda, starts receiving phone calls from a man claiming to be her killer. The next girl to go missing is Shannon Gilbert, which we just discussed. We'll discuss her evening more in detail here shortly. She goes missing on May 1st, 2010. That's followed up by Megan Waterman. June 5th, 2010, disappears from a Holiday Inn Express on Long Island. She's last seen heading toward a nearby convenience store on foot. And then September 2nd, 2010, Amber Lynn Costello leaves her home in North Babylon to meet a client, and she's never to be seen again. Then December 11, police discover a full skeleton wrapped in burlap. And then December 13, they find three more sets of remains near the first set of remains, and none of them are Shannon Gilbert's. These four were all killed and wrapped in this burlap, and they were placed approximately 1/10 of a mile away from each other on the north side of Ocean Parkway. Now, this is a long, straight road, and it's not in the city, so it's very dark out there at night. So this is kind of an ideal place if you're there to dump something, because at night you could see the headlights from the other cars for probably several miles. It would give you plenty of time to get back in your car or to make it look like something else is going on before the car approaches you. January 25, 2011. Suffolk County Police Commissioner Richard Dormore and the Suffolk County District Attorney Thomas Spata. I don't know. I apologize, Mr. Thomas. But they publicly acknowledge that the police are looking for a serial killer. So
So at this point, how many bodies are found?
So at this point, we've actually found 7 sets of remains. However, they only think that the 4 that are all wrapped in burlap, having been found on Ocean Parkway, are linked. Right. They don't start to even look into these earlier findings until once they're starting to piece together that they're probably looking for a serial killer that could have an unknown number of victims.
Yeah. Right.
Right. So on March 29, 2011, right, police find a skull, hands, and forearm, later verified to be additional remains of Jessica Taylor. So she was the one that a portion of her was found July 26, 2003. And she's found in the Pine Barrens. So now remember, there was another human torso that was found there 3 years before hers was discovered. So if you can believe that the partial remains of Jessica Taylor that are found in near proximity to the 4 known Long Island serial killer victims, if that links her to them enough for you, then you got to believe that other torso, that second torso that was found with Jessica Taylor's torso in the Pine Barrens, is also connected. So if that is the case and you can go along with that, now we're at 6 victims.
Okay.
That still leaves the Fire Island victim elsewhere as a possible 7, and still leaves Shannon Gilbert missing.
Right.
April 4th, 2011, 3 more sets of remains are found along Ocean Parkway. An unidentified Asian male dressed in women's clothing, the skull and hands and foot of the first Manorville Jane Doe, and an unidentified girl between 16 and 32 months old. So that's the toddler. So now, again, because of the proximity of these new remains that we just found to the previous 5, half of one of the sets of remains are the second half of what was found in Manorville. So if you can believe that these new 3 sets of remains are connected to the previous 5, that brings us to 8 and connects us to the previous Manorville one. Now we're at 9 and we're still missing Shannon Gilbert.
Right.
Confusing, confusing, confusing.
Yeah, but you have to believe all that stuff. And this is also a known place that they dump bodies.
Who's they? Like the that this is just like people, if you're going to off somebody, you're going out there and dumping them here? Like,
yes. It's a known site of dumping bodies.
For at least one person.
Well, right. But I mean, you got to understand that area. I mean, there's still a lot of organized crime out there. There's a lot of prostitution out there. So... that's all I'm saying.
So now keep in mind, out of those new 3 sets of remains, one of them was a toddler. Now, on April 11th, this is 1 week later, 2011, police uncover 2 more sets of remains in 2 separate locations. The first discovery, female bones and jewelry found near Jones Beach Water Tower. It's later suggested by DNA to be the likely mother of the toddler found a week before.
So we're at 10. If you believe all this stuff.
We are at... no, we're at more than that. Because we had 4 that were found together in a burlap bag. Jessica Taylor that was found in the pines. There was another torso found 3 years earlier in that same area. That puts us at 6.
Yeah.
So 4 plus Jessica Taylor... plus the other torso in the pines, 6. Then we found 3 sets of remains.
The Asian dude,
some unknown Jane Doe, and then the toddler. That puts us at 9. Now we find 2 more sets of remains.
Oh, 2 more. Okay, so we're at 11.
In Jones Beach, And DNA is suggesting that the Jane Doe at Jones, one of the Jane Does at Jones Beach, is probably the mother of the toddler. We're at 11 and still no Shannon Gilbert.
Right. Which, if it wasn't for her, they wouldn't be looking anyways.
That's right. I mean, it's like her whole evening is what led them to finding these remains. If I've also heard plenty of rumors that the cop wasn't out there actually looking for Shannon Gilbert. You know, that's their... The police have been criticized because of the way that they've handled the disappearances of some of these women. The four that aren't labeled Jane Doe or unknown Asian male or unknown toddler, those four, they were reported missing. And a lot of them were reported missing in either New York City or Long Island. And what they were told, especially in Shannon Gilbert's case, when her mother tries to report her missing, you know, in the area of where the, because they knew that she was out there because her driver, Michael Pack, tells her boyfriend where they had gone and what had happened that evening. So they try to report her missing in that Oak Beach area. And what do the cops out there tell her? Oh, you know, she's an adult. She can go wherever she wants to. She's also a prostitute. The best thing that you should do is go back to your hometown and report her missing there.
Well, not your hometown, but where Shannon's from. Go back to where Shannon lives, and then you report it there.
Correct. And that's what some of these other parents and other family members were told when they tried to report their daughters and their sisters missing. And I feel like, this is what I think, no disrespect to that cop, but I don't think they were out there looking for Shannon Gilbert. I think that he got out of his car to take a pee, or he let his dog out to take a pee, or whatever. It was happenstance that they stumbled upon this first one.
Yeah, wasn't there something about they were practicing looking for things?
So here's all the different rumors. The first two rumors that the cops want you to believe are that, A, we were looking for Shannon Gilbert because she went missing out there many, many months ago, and all of a sudden we've just decided to start looking for her. That's what they really want you to believe. If you won't believe that, they're fine with you believing that the police officer was out there doing some training exercises with the canine, with the dog.
Yeah.
The evidence keeps pouring in. At this point, the facts are undeniable. It's an open and shut case. Monopoly Go is the most fun you can have in a mobile game. Everyone is still talking about Monopoly Go for a good reason. It is an absolute hit. Millions of people pass Go every day because this game is always bringing something new to the table. Like countless crazy tournaments you can join with your friends as partners or teams. Or timed events, offering bonuses like massive multipliers or rent frenzies to help you get huge rewards. And there's so many rewards to discover. Rare stickers you can trade with friends to complete albums. Delightful emojis to taunt people with when you raid their riches. Unique playing pieces and so much more. The verdict is in. With Monopoly Go, there's something new to discover every time you play. So don't miss out. Go download it now free on the App Store and Google Play.
Do you want to set your child up for success? Of course you do. That's why you need to check out IXL Learning today. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids covering math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way. It's powered by advanced algorithms. IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. There's one site for all kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. Kids could use it at home on their computer or on an app on your phone or a tablet. No more grading those worksheets. IXL grades everything for you. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. I love recommending IXL Learning. Kids can learn at home or on the go. and all my friends and family that are using it absolutely love it because it's so easy to set up and so easy to use. And even the kids that I've recommended it to their parents have told me, hey, Captain, thank you. I was having problems in math and my parents couldn't help me, but IXL could. Do you want to get your kids back on track or do you just want to get your kids ahead? Do so with IXL Learning. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And True Crime Garage listeners get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/garage. Visit IXL.com/garage to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Check out IXL.com/garage today.
The best part of spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless. When Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. It's time to switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all of your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. Save a lot of money with Mint Mobile. Get their great mobile wireless service delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. That's premium service at a great price. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/TCG. That's mintmobile.com/TCG. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/TCG. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Again, I'm of the belief that they stumbled upon it for other reasons. Here's the thing. Why did they keep looking after they found that one burlap bag? So they keep looking. This is in their defense. Maybe they were looking for Shannon Gilbert because what they say is, well, we're going to keep looking. We know this is not Shannon Gilbert. We've not identified this body yet, but we know it's not Shannon Gilbert. Do you know why?
Why?
She had an identifier on her. She had a titanium plate in her jaw from a domestic situation that she had had with her boyfriend.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you dive into and look at these girls, unfortunately, a lot of them had some very shady boyfriend types.
Yeah, well, if you're going to get into that line of work, I mean, you know, you don't normally just fall into that. You know, drugs are a big part of things. And and then abuse and then daddy issues.
I believe that a couple of these girls may have been pushed into it, I wouldn't say unwillingly, but coaxed into,
yeah, possibly
this by either boyfriends or wannabe boyfriends.
Yeah.
So let's go back to,
and some of these girls aren't bad looking.
No, they're not. Let's go to Shannon Gilbert's evening. Do you want to kick off her evening, what you know of her evening for us?
No.
Okay, so this would have been either the last day of April or the first day of May back in 2010. She gets a call to go out to Oak Beach. She has a driver, and that kind of sets her aside from a lot of these other victims.
Yeah, she's a little higher end.
Yeah, well, and she has a driver. She's responding to a call with the driver. These other girls, as far as we know, they were alone.
Here's a possibility, though. She's coming from pretty far away.
Yeah.
So it's possible that, based on her occupation, that you go, okay, well, if it's in town, I can figure that out. you know, I can have my boyfriend drop me off or I can drive myself. I know that area. But if it's that far away, and, you know, we've talked about, we talked earlier, we did actually a whole podcast before and the audio was so bad that we said, no, we're not putting that out. So, but we were talking on that podcast about, with the whole driver thing, but they're all Craigslist. They're based on Craigslist, most of them.
And Backpage.
Yeah. So Craigslist and Backpage, and that whoever was paying these girls, that this is where a lot of these can be connected. Is there's a couple cases that we know of that these girls were offered like way more money than they would be offered at a normal job. So if their normal rate was $200, they were offered $1,500. So there is a possibility that maybe she doesn't have a driver on a normal basis, and that but she was going to make so much money that she could hire somebody.
Well, Michael Pack was her normal driver. I don't know that she used him for every call that she got, but she was, like you said, definitely going to have to use him for this call because it's a 2-hour drive. Right. You know, it's about 10 o'clock at night, she gets the call to go out there. Now, she's on a date with her boyfriend beforehand, the nice guy that broke her jaw for her.
Well, we don't know if it was the same guy.
It was the same guy. We do know.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
What's his name?
I don't know his
name. Let's go looking for that guy.
Well, I personally don't think he had any involvement. But anyway, regardless. So... She goes out on this call. It's about 10 o'clock, so they probably get there around midnight. It's an area she's not familiar with. She's with her driver, Michael Pack. He's in his black SUV. She's in the house for a while doing her thing. And, you know, her whole job, what you want to do while you're there, the way I understand it, is that you want to extend the time. You want to try to get, you know, more time because more time equals more money. You're right. Going to book me for another hour or however that works.
I'm not booking you.
Michael Pack gets a call from Shannon Gilbert saying, can you go to CVS and pick up some cards? This is what he says. Who knows what they're asking for? I imagine there's drugs and party favors involved at these little get-togethers.
Right.
And he doesn't want to go. He doesn't know where the CVS is. He doesn't want to go pick it up. So Joe Brewer. Now, I've got to apologize well in advance. I am going to call him Jim Brewer at least once, the goat boy.
Mm-hmm. I like Jim.
Yeah, and Jim Brewer had nothing to do with this, and he is in no way related to...
Okay, so Jim Brewer.
Good guy.
Good guy.
Joe Brewer.
Wait, is Jim Brewer the nice boots, killer boots man? Same guy?
I don't know that bit.
You've been sucking on your dad's cough medicine?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice boots.
Yeah.
Killer boots, man.
So Jim Brewer, great guy.
Best guy in the world.
We want to go on the record as stating that True Crime Garage, we love Jim Brewer. Jim Brewer, you ever want to come to the Crime Garage?
Come
we're here, buddy.
Garage. Come to the garage.
Full fridge of beer for you, man.
We got a giant fridge. And a lot of... We'll take some pictures sometime of parts of the garage and post it on the website. So you can see we got the biggest refrigerator you've ever seen.
That's right. In a hot tub.
In a hot tub.
In a grill.
Okay. So Jim Brewer,
good
great
guy.
Dude.
Joe Brewer, douchebag.
Douchey douche, king douche.
So Joe Brewer is this guy. He has these are all kind of what they call McMansions out there in Oak Beach.
What does that mean?
A McMansion's like a small mansion.
Okay. So it's like McDonald's mansion.
Correct.
Okay.
And we're told he's hosting a party, but it's all very convoluted about what kind of party this is. He says he didn't call her for sex. He calls her for entertainment, whatever. Anyway, Joe Brewer, Shannon Gilbert.
Right, which is possible, though, because these escorts that you hire, that it's not necessarily just sex. So it's not like you're an escort and you have sex. It could be sexual favors. It could be going on a date with somebody. It could be...
Well, bachelor parties is a big part of their...
Right. It could be dancing. It could be stripping. So
right.
So it's possible that what he's saying is that's a fact. That
okay.
I didn't hire her for sex. Maybe it's just for dancing. What I don't like about it is he never says, I didn't hire her for sex. I hired her to dance.
He does say he hired her for entertainment or some crap like that. But
right, but that's bullshit.
Right, and here's why it's bullshit. This is the problem I have with his little party. And I totally get that he's the kind of guy that would pay for an escort or entertainment to come out to interview or to entertain his other douchey friends.
It'd be weird if they called her out to interview her.
The problem I have is both Michael Pack and Joe Brewer submitted statements to the police late at a later date, and neither of them mention other people. And if there were other people there, of course, Michael Pack, he doesn't know who these people are. And Joe Brewer's not giving up any names. So if you are having a party and it's not just you and Shannon Gilbert hanging out, who are these other people? We'd like to know. And you'd think the cops would figure out a way to figure this out, because every one of those other people there are likely suspects.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, Joe Brewer and her, they leave. Michael Pack perceives that they probably went to the CVS to pick up whatever it is that they were asking him to go for. Other people speculate maybe they went to pick up some drugs. There's a little bit of a conspiracy that we'll talk about later that some people think is what they may have gone out to do, a third option. Anyway, they return. Things seem to be going as planned. She's extending the night like they want to do, and then all of a sudden, Michael Pack gets a phone call.
And what she wants to do, too.
Right. Okay. Michael Pack gets a phone call. It's not Shannon Gilbert. It's Joe Brewer. He's saying, she's in here. This is your problem. She's freaking out. Come get her. Get her out of my house. She won't leave. Michael Pack comes in, and his statement is that he comes in and he sees her, whatever room that he walks into, the first room that's in the from the entrance, she's standing in the doorway to another room. She doesn't look distraught or anything. He gets in there and he thinks maybe she's playing a game or joking around, that this is some kind of joke, that he doesn't know what's going on. Joe Brewer discusses with Michael Pack inside, you know, you gotta get her out of my house.
Beer.
You want to hit pause?
No, just get a beer.
You, what are you supposed to say? Are you ready for the truth?
I'm ready for the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
I can handle the truth. Right.
You see it right there in the can. Past time? Wait. In the can, the blue can. Yeah, so just so everybody knows what we're talking about here. There's a, we're in Columbus, Ohio. There's a brewery in...
Don't tell these crazy fucks where we're at.
In Cincinnati, Ohio, called Rheingeist, and they have a IPA called Truth. So
we love you crazy fucks.
There's a glass right there if you want.
Okay. It's called the truth.
So Joe Brewer tells Michael Pack, you got to get her out of my house. Shannon disappears. She goes into the other room. They follow her in there. Now she's kind of like crouching down between the couch and the wall. And she's on the phone with 911 saying they're going to kill me. They're trying to kill me.
Right.
And Joe Brewer goes outside. This is what I found interesting about Michael Pack's statement. And this is why Joe Brewer is so tricky to me. He goes outside. It basically tells Michael Pack, this is your problem, man. You're the driver. This is, you know, here's, you know, get her out of here. He goes outside, so...
Now, does he pay Pack?
I don't know any of the money situation. That is one thing that I did want to figure out.
Always follow the money. I'd like to know that, though.
Me too. Shannon freaks out, and she runs out the door. Now she's running, and she's running towards the neighbor's house. So for whatever reason, she seems to be afraid of Joe Brewer and whoever else might be in this party, if there is anybody at all. And now she appears to be afraid of Michael Pack as well, which is all very confusing to me. You would think the driver would be the last person you'd be afraid of. And that if you were scared and you did think that they were trying to end you, that you would want to leave and leave with your driver.
Yeah, but okay. But if you're tripping on something, right? Or you're super stoned. Or possibly a mixture of everything.
Which is possible. And she did have some mental issues. Some people suggest maybe she was bipolar or had a tendency to freak out or have nervous breakdowns.
Yeah, and if she's in a manic state and she's creating this idea in her head that it's a plot to kill her, then Brewer, he's going to kill you. And then Brewer is talking to your driver, and it could be as simple as her going, "Oh God, the driver's in on this too."
Correct.
I got to get out of here.
So now she's running through the neighborhood.
Right.
She pounds on Gus Coletti's door. Gus Coletti's, it's early in the morning. He's up. It's like 3 a.m. Him and his wife had to be up to go to something. They had a 2 or 3 hour drive to go somewhere.
Gus is how old? He's pretty old.
He's ancient. And
well, that's not a number.
He's up. He says he's shaving or whatever. And she pounds on the door. He says that he lets her in, and she's screaming something about they're going to kill me or they're trying to kill me. He doesn't really understand what's going on. I'm going to go to bat for him. I've seen some of these TV shows, and they seem to question his honesty.
No, I like this guy a lot. He has a good – I like the cut of his jib. I like his jib, and I like the cut of it.
Nice jib.
You got a nice jib on you.
No, but regardless, I think he acted honorably. I mean, I think if
he asked her to sit down.
If for any reason he gave more than one story, I believe it to be because it happened so fast and so early in the morning that he may be just a little confused.
Well, yeah, and it's all based on who's asking you the questions, how they're asking you, those things, all those little details. That's why they say the devil's in the details. So all those little details, and we're talking about a guy that's at least in his 70s. And so they're just going to get mixed up in general. But again, happened pretty quick. I mean, it's only maybe a few minutes that she's involved with this guy's life.
It could be 30 seconds. It could be 2 minutes. And he seems to think that she is afraid of the person in the black SUV. This would be her driver, who's now, Michael Pack is in the SUV still trying to get her in the car. But again, Gus Coletti doesn't know that she just fled one of his neighbor's homes. So he thinks she's afraid of him. He says something like, "I'm going to call the cops," or he starts to call the cops. He's a little confused of...
No. He went to the guy's window.
This is afterwards.
Okay.
To my recollection, he claims he's either going to call the cops to Shannon Gilbert, or he starts to call 911, and then she flees his house after he says that.
Yeah.
And before Michael Pack could pull away from wherever he was, and he's near Gus Coletti's home, Gus Coletti goes out. Michael Pack rolls down the window and says, "What's going on," or something of that nature. And Gus Coletti says the same thing to him. He either says the cops are on their way, or I've called the cops, something of that nature. Michael Pack says, "Oh, that you shouldn't have done that."
Right.
And then now he drives away. Now he does. Gus Coletti is unsure of which direction Shannon Gilbert runs, but to his recollection, he thinks that Michael Pack leaves driving his SUV in the same direction as Shannon Gilbert.
Yeah, and there's another call to 911 by another neighbor. A female neighbor, right?
Yes, Barbara Brennan. So Barbara Brennan calls 911 as well. And we're going to circle back to her later when we start discussing some theories, but right now we're just going to discuss fact. She calls 911 as well. Now, Shannon Gilbert was on her cell phone to 911 for a good portion of the events that we just discussed. She makes a 23-minute phone call to 911.
Shannon does.
Correct. On her cell phone. Now, here's the big problem. You say, well, why didn't the police just come, send everybody right then and there? A woman is calling, they're trying to kill me, whatever. You'd think that they would just send in the National Guard. we don't know. They won't release her phone call. I would love to hear that phone call, but she doesn't know where she is. She doesn't understand where she is. She doesn't understand Oak Beach. She tries, you know, I'm somewhere on Long Island. They reroute her 911 call to, I don't know if they dispatch it to the state troopers or to the state patrol, or if they reroute her 911 call in such a fashion that she's not speaking with a local person there. I don't really fully understand how that works, but what they're saying is that we didn't know where she was, so we let the state handle it.
And this is what year again?
2010.
You'd think they'd be able to just
trace her cell phone.
Right.
She's on there for 23 minutes. She didn't just hang up.
Yeah.
Well, the cops do finally come.
Yeah, but it's probably based on Gus's call or Barbara's call.
They arrive like 45 minutes to an hour after Gus Coletti calls.
What time is this again?
This is very early in the morning. Gus Coletti...
Like 2, 3?
Nah, he calls like about 3, maybe 4 in the morning.
Yeah, they don't got a lot going on. Unless there's a shift break. If there's a changeover, then that takes time.
Well, here's the other thing, too. This is May. This is May 1st. Now, we live in Ohio, so we're towards the end of the Eastern time zone. So what happens here is the sun rises a little later than it does to the people to the east of us in the same time zone. So if she's fleeing Gus Coletti's home at 3 or 4 in the morning in May, we're getting close to, you know, we're in spring, we're getting close to summertime. We're at that time of day, if you're talking about 4 in the morning, it's not too long before the sun starts to come up, before it's not pitch black out anymore.
Right.
So when she's running around in that marsh, all distorted and all distraught and shedding her clothes because she's covered in mud, like Fantastico here would have you believe, we might be talking about somebody that has some light, that has some reference. That has some reference that can see.
Yeah,
can,
like it's just
can start to see what's going on.
Like, it's impossible that she'd be covered in mud when she's running through mud.
So,
it's a marsh. She's running through a marsh.
So that all goes down, right?
Right.
And here's the crazy thing.
I'm waiting for this one.
Well, you would think if Joe Brewer were involved or Michael Pack were involved,
right,
that this would be the screwiest, if you had committed the other murders already, this would be the most messed up thing that could happen to your design. And yet two more girls go missing after this that are found in burlap. That same summer.
They possibly could have been killed earlier than this and just never found. They possibly could have been killed and been in holding somewhere.
No, what I'm saying is two of the girls that were found in the burlap, they were still alive. They were still out on their own. They hadn't been abducted yet.
Okay.
Which you would think that if you're doing this, if you're the serial killer and this Shannon Gilbert is a part of your thing here, you might shut down operation, right? I mean, wouldn't this freak you out
if you know she's dead?
Right, but you know she's dead, but she was on the phone for 23 minutes with 911 and she had talked to two other neighbors that had called 911 as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, you were almost caught. You dodged a bullet here.
Well, depends on what questions the cops are asking and who they're asking. Because the way you talk there, then you're dismissing old Brewer. I almost said Jim.
We love
Jim Brewer.
But that's one of the many questions that all of this information leads you to. So they do end up finding her body after...
Well, her parents, her family is really searching for her. They hire an attorney, right?
Correct.
And the attorney is putting pressure on the cops, which, look, It's one thing to call, but once an attorney is doing it, you kind of step up your game a little bit. I would assume. This is tasty beer, by the way.
That's the truth, baby.
It's the truth. It's hoppy. It's very hoppy, but it's tasty beer.
Okay, so November 30th, 2011. This is a year and a half after Shannon Gilbert goes missing. The Suffolk County Police announced that they're going to reopen the search for Shannon Gilbert along Ocean Parkway. December 6th, that same year, on day two of the new search, the police move from Ocean Parkway to Oak Beach. That same day, they find Shannon's pocketbook, ID, cell phone, jeans, and shoes in a marsh, steps from where she was last seen that evening that she's fleeing. 1 week later, December...
Do we know how far away from Brewer's house that is?
I don't know offhand.
Right, no. but we could look it up.
Correct.
Well, why don't you do that?
I will in a minute. December 13th, 2011, Shannon's remains are found on the far side of Oak Beach in the same marsh. Now, this is a quarter of a mile from her belongings. Before an autopsy is performed, Dormer, this is the commissioner of the Suffolk County Police, Dormer refers to her death as an accident.
Yeah, but this is the guy that didn't really give a shit in the beginning.
I don't know what to think of him. Like, the part of me wants to like him, Dormer, and then part of me just thinks he's incapable of this investigation.
Yeah, well, most of them are. That's the kind of the theme in every case that we talk about, is these incompetent cops. Which I love cops, by the way, but I don't know. I don't know about this guy. I don't like the cut of his jib, and I don't like his jib, and I don't like the cut of it.
On December 15th, the Attorney General, he goes against Dormer's single killer theory. So... what we have the commissioner of the Suffolk County Police saying shortly after they find Shannon Gilbert is that her death is an accident and it is not related to all the other remains that we have found. What number were we at? We were at 11?
Yeah. So would she be 12?
So she would be 12. However, the police commissioner states that those 11 are connected in his theory. Is that they're connected, and Shannon Gilbert was not murdered. She was killed. She died accidentally.
Yeah, she got stuck in the marsh, basically.
And her death is not related to these other 11 victims. Now, that's December 15th, 2011. January 3rd, 2012, less than a month later, they have an interim commissioner for the Suffolk County Police. Dormer's replaced or forced into retirement or whatever. I'm not certain.
Okay.
So the new commissioner.
Why was he fired? Did they say, sir, we don't like the cut of your jib?
Edward Weber announces there's no fixed theories at the moment.
What a fucking name, Edward.
May 1st, 2012. Shannon's autopsy results are shared with her family. The cause of death is undetermined. So now they've changed it from accidental death
to undetermined.
To undetermined.
There's a lot of possibilities, though, with hers. I mean, how were the other people killed?
Well,
what was the MO there? Strangulation? Okay,
so several of the bodies were dismembered.
And hers wasn't.
And let's go ahead and say that the unknown victims, the ones that we cannot name,
the Jane Does and the
I'm going to go on record with saying we don't know how they were killed. Their remains could have been there for such a long time that we're uncertain. But the four that we have identified, and I believe Jessica Taylor as well, the five that we've identified, not including Shannon Gilbert, they have ruled their deaths as strangulation. Now, there's a bit of a caveat there. I've been told that in many cases, they will determine victims to have been killed by strangulation because there's no other obvious signs of how they expired.
Wouldn't there be like bruising around the neck and stuff?
Yeah, there's no gunshots to, you know, any of the...
But what I'm saying is there bruising around the neck when they do that? Or is it just based on the idea that we don't really know, so we'll just say this is...
Well, a lot of times when there's strangulation, there will be some fractures in the neck bones. Mm-hmm. So they could know for, you know, and
they could know for certain, but sometimes
possibly,
they don't.
Possibly. But all we know, we don't know, we're not the coroner, we're not the police detectives, we don't know why they ruled that a strangulation.
That's what you say.
But what I'm saying is that sometimes they rule it a strangulation because there's no other obvious signs. Doesn't mean that those neck bones were, in fact, broken. Now, most of these bodies are going to be deteriorated to a point where you're not going to be able to see bruising on the neck.
Right. Okay. Where do we go from here?
Well, how about Peter Hackett?
The doctor.
What do you think of his jib?
Don't like the cut of his jib. His jib and the cut of it, I do not like. Hold on a second.
Before you get into Peter Hackett, will you give me some truth?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll lead us into this while you bring the truth. Now, before Shannon Gilbert's body is found, on April 12, 2011, Mary Gilbert, this is Shannon Gilbert's mother, thank you, sir, she claims that she spoke with Oak Beach resident Dr. Peter Hackett in the days after her daughter Shannon's disappearance. Hackett and his wife deny the conversations took place. We'll get into that in a minute. But what happens shortly after they speak to Peter Hackett? They go out. Her family goes out. Shannon Gilbert's family goes out to the area, and they claim that they start putting up, they're questioning the people in the area, they're looking for their sister, they're looking for their daughter.
Yeah, and this happened with multiple girls that went missing, that somebody from their family would go out looking or questioning or putting up flyers.
But these were the only ones in this area that were this close to where the bodies were found. The others are looking in areas where the girls lived.
Yeah, correct. Because a lot of these girls were coming from far away. And I think, okay, so that's interesting to me because it's kind of like, well, if I'm going to get a prostitute or escort from 2 hours away, then it's less likely they're going to look here. So.
Correct.
If that's the case, or if they're going here, if that's where they're going. But some of these people, we don't know where they disappeared from.
Right. We only know where they were last seen.
Right. But he's douchey, Captain Douche, too.
Well, he's weird, yeah. Well, I don't even know if it's so much douchey. He's just strange.
First of all, he's a doctor. Second of all, he's known to prescribe pills to people in his neighborhood. I'm not saying that that's douchey, but then you make a phone call to the parents, right? To the mom, and then he says that he never made the call. They got record of the call. He made the call from his wife's cell phone.
Yeah.
He claims he never made the call. Why would I call you? We have record that you called. And then he also stated on that phone call that he was helping her through like rehab. He was treating her as a physician. Now, I would claim that if you make that statement as a physician that you're helping this person, then this person disappears from a location that you are from. That's some malpractice right there, right?
Yeah, well, there's rumor in the Oak Beach community that Dr. Peter Hackett told one or more residents that he had seen her that night. He had seen Shannon Gilbert that night. He gave her something to sedate her, and she stayed at his house for a short period of time, maybe a couple of hours, and he put her in Michael Pack's SUV at 6, 7 in the morning and sends them on their way. And when Mary Gilbert states that he claims that he treated her, it's my understanding that he meant that he treated her for a brief period of time that evening.
Yeah, but that guy is still claiming he never made the phone call in the first place.
That's what makes him look very...
Yeah, so here we go. So she goes on a date with her boyfriend. Then she gets a call. Then she gets into Pac-Man's car. They go all the way out to Brewer's house. And then after a few hours, a couple hours, they go, or a little bit of time, they go to CVS. Then they come back. And then she goes crazy. Everybody's trying to kill her. And then we get a phone call from the neighbor, Gus. Then we get a call from Barbara. And then, so what he's saying is Pac-Man then finds her, takes her back to Douchey Douche Doctor's house. He sedates her. And then about 7 o'clock in the morning, he puts her in Pac-Man's car and they drive away.
Correct.
Now, what was Mr. Pac-Man say about that?
Now, Mr. Pac says that he drove around looking for Shannon Gilbert for about 30 to 45 minutes after he last saw her fleeing Gus Coletti's home and couldn't find her, gave up, and left.
Which is way different than the story that was just told.
From Mr. Dr. Peter Hackett. How do you feel about those? Let's start looking at suspects. Let's start discussing suspects, unless you wanted to talk about anything that we've already covered.
No, I think we're good to do that.
So right now, if we're just discussing Shannon Gilbert's disappearance and her accidental death or murder.
Well, do we want to do this on a part two?
What time are we? How much time are we at?
We're at an hour.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to send this to a part two.
Yeah, let's wrap this one up and then we'll... So the beer we're drinking today, again, is what?
Rheingeist Truth.
And it's from a place in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah, it's Rheingeist Brewery in Cincy.
Cincinnati, Ohio. It's delicious. It's kind of hoppy. But no, so we'll make this a part tour.
Well, before we go to that, I'm going to do a little bit of recommended reading for you.
Yeah, give me some of that.
Okay. So, and as normal, if anybody wants to find this book, you can go to our website, click on the banner.
Click through Amazon. And then here's the great thing about that.
Help out the show.
It doesn't cost you any extra money. So if the book is $15... Here's the other great thing about Amazon, too. The book is called Lost Girls.
Yep.
I'll let you do that part. But here's what's great. Is if you buy that new, what does that say new? What does it say on the book? How much does that cost?
$25.99.
Now, maybe you don't want to buy that new. Maybe.
And it's probably cheaper nowadays than...
Right. But what's cool about Amazon is you can buy used ones. So if you want to buy the book used... $15, you click through our website, click on the Amazon banner, you buy whatever, and then Amazon gives us a little love. That's all that happens.
Yep, and it's called Lost Girls, An Unsolved American Mystery by Robert Kolker, and this is the definitive book on this case. If you're interested in this case, this is the book to get. Check it out.
Right.
It's also available on audible.com, I believe.
They're not a sponsor yet, but we're working on that. So
the thing that's great about this book is he focuses on, now, to give a little background, Robert, from my understanding, he either worked for Newsday or The Post or one of those, some kind of publication out of New York. So he was already familiar with the case because, I mean, he's there. So he goes out two hours and starts investigating this case, and he gets to interview a lot of the family. He does. There's a long interview in here with Dr. Peter Hackett. There's a long interview in here with Joe Brewer. There's a lot of interesting stuff in here. There's stuff in here that you will not find in the 48 hours special.
Yeah, the 48 hours stuff. I watched, I think they had a two-parter on this, and I watched both of those. And then when we got together, you know, Nick was just telling me all sorts of information that, that was not presented in that.
And I have some other outlets that I received some of that information from too, which we'll get to more into part two. It's going to get a little dirty in part two, but this book is great. Robert Kolker, Lost Girls, An Unsolved American Mystery. Go pick this up today. He pretty much just focuses on the four girls that were found in the burlap that have all been identified, and he discusses Shannon Gilbert at length.
And then, like always, we produce the music for the show. So if you like the theme song, go to our website and buy it. The money goes to us, helps the show. And then all the songs that you hear under the stories, they're produced by us. If you purchase those, you know, just nice little car ride music. Or, you know, anytime you're dumping off a body, you know, and you just need to listen to something. Disclaimer, do not dump bodies anywhere. I'm telling you not to do that. But, yeah, so all that music supports the show. And buy some of that stuff, you crazy Vox.
And thank you for all the good feedback that we're receiving lately.
Tons. And look, okay, I say write a lot.
Right.
And, right. And I don't want to tell anybody my secret, but I'm gonna. This is episode what?
Four.
Right. Okay, here's the great thing about the write. Go back and listen to every episode again, or from every episode now on. Every time I say write, take a drink.
We played that game the other day. And
we
terrible results.
We got
hammered. There's too many rights.
We got wasted.
Anything else?
That's it.
Don't litter.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.